Good morning.
Hi, Elias.
And what shall we discuss this day?
Okay, so question for you to start with is I've been paying attention to what I'm paying attention to.
Yes.
And we've talked about this in the past, but what I've noticed in the past is that I would only do so for a short period of time before giving up on it or moving to something else. And now I'm able to do it for more sustained periods of time. And I'm, so I was curious why I...
In relation to what you're paying attention to?
Right.
Very well.
And so I was curious why I was not, I would not, you've talked about this for years to me and to other people, and why I would not follow up on that.
I would say to you that that, in your terms, in your physical terms, is normal. And that is the reason that I repeat the information so frequently. Because you hear it, you intellectually understand it, you attempt it, but you are so familiar with not doing that, that it is automatic to forget and to not do it, to not pay attention. And everything in your life, in your world, is familiar. What you do, what you eat, who you interact with, how you move, everything. Conversations, everything you do is familiar to you, and therefore you do it automatically. This is unfamiliar. Paying attention and maintaining that attention is unfamiliar. And although you hear it, you understand it intellectually, you may agree with it, you may want to do it, then you are engaging life. And that is so familiar that you automatically move in those directions that have become natural to you. And this is unnatural to you until it becomes more familiar, and then it becomes more natural. This is only natural to you when you are a small one.
Mm-hmm.
You naturally do pay attention to yourself. You pay attention to what you are doing. You pay attention to your intention. When you are a small one, you don't think about it. You merely do it. But you are also being continuously conditioned and instructed from the time of infancy to not do that. And eventually, you begin not paying attention automatically.
And it seems like I would develop or I would focus on maybe an easier way or a partial paying attention, like some sort of method that would leave me maybe not as distracted as normal, but would not be what I would consider what I'm doing now, which is more aware.
Yes. But it requires repetition, practice, to become familiar and to become more automatic. And the more you do it, the more automatic it becomes. It is the same process that you engage when you are a small one. Not paying attention and not being aware is not natural. But you practice at it, and you are reminded to do it, over and over and over until it becomes automatic. And then it is reinforced for years and years and years. This is also the reason that I generally engage individuals with very small children very differently. To encourage them not to move in that direction with those small ones that eventually, in like manner to yourselves, will require being undone.
It's got to be hard, though, for people to implement that, I'm sure.
Agree. I definitely agree, because that is not the manner in which your societies are structured.
Okay. I think I've made some significant progress, even from our last call, in some noticeable progress, let's say, in being more aware of what I'm doing, more aware of what I'm paying attention to, and it's really enjoyable.
Congratulations.
Thank you. The other thing I've been noticing, and even related to this call, is some small synchronicities. Like, I have a flight later today, and I was originally going to do this call an hour later, and Mary contacted me out of the blue about doing it at an earlier time, and I realized, oh, well, that's actually going to fit better with my schedule. And I've noticed that happening in a few other areas with small things. And that has given me a little bit of confidence that I can apply that trust to larger things.
Yes, because you did it.
Yeah.
Even when you perceive that it is another individual doing something that merely fits with you because you weren't thinking about it or you weren't the one that initiated it, you were projecting that energy. This is the piece that is so difficult for most individuals to grasp and understand, this interconnectedness, that you move in a direction, you project a particular energy, someone else is responding to that energy in a very different capacity, which seems to be in their own life and their own activities that isn't connected with you, but it is. They are all puzzle pieces. Therefore, you have a flight, and in that, you may not be thinking about it, but you are projecting an energy about that and about time, but you aren't doing that in a stressful manner. This
right.
is a key. Because it is all merely flowing. And then, in a different location, Michael may be contacted by another individual, or some other action may be altering Michael's schedule, and therefore that puzzle piece fits with your puzzle piece, and neither of you are anxious or stressed about the situation. You are merely moving with it, and it flows. Then the puzzle pieces fit together. Now, when the puzzle pieces don't fit together is when one or both or more than one individual is agitated or anxious or pushing in relation to whatever they are doing, then it creates a situation in which the interconnectedness is still occurring, but it affects in repelling manners, and then the puzzle pieces don't fit together.
Okay.
But they are still being affected.
Right, right. Okay.
I would say to you, congratulations, not only for noticing, but also for crediting yourself and therefore generating more confidence in what you are doing.
Thank you.
For noticing. Congratulations.
So the situation that I'm applying that to now is related to, is job related. And so I had another conversation with the boss here, and it went very, it was very cordial, very nice, very, very nice. But she reiterated her view that, you know, we're going to probably part ways soon, that we'll figure something out, work out some sort of negotiation or something. But then offering to be helped and, you know, reference or finding another job, or just that, you know, that it wasn't working out between us, and, you know, that we'd work out some sort of package. And so that is
what
interesting.
Thinking and feeling in that.
I felt awesome. Because I felt like this is actually part of my movement. It felt like a weight was lifting off my shoulders.
Excellent.
It allowed me to make some things related to this job less important.
Tremendous.
Some things that had been bothering me.
Excellent. Continue.
Okay. And so the idea would be that I'm not going to get into what will happen or what won't happen and what the timing will be. But like the little things with the call, I'm just going to trust that I'm moving in the direction that I want to move in.
Excellent. Congratulations again.
Thank you. The example that sprung to mind, and hopefully my energy in a much better place, but if we look at back at a time period 15, 16 years ago, I was laid off for a period of about 6 months, and I ended up taking the first job I ended up taking, I did not like at all for another 6 months. But then after that, I ended up in a fantastic place at a much better job, much better firm that really set up my career very well. And the way I was thinking about that was I was always moving in that direction during those time periods. I just didn't see it.
Yes.
And so I could look at those individual sequences in the midst of it and be like, oh, this is terrible, I'm not doing this. Or I could look at it as I am still moving where I want, even though it doesn't look like it at this moment.
I am tremendously acknowledging of you that you can see that. That is a tremendous piece. And this is a piece that many individuals don't see or they don't acknowledge. That even when you are, as you expressed, in the midst of experiencing in a capacity that you think and you perceive is bad, or you are not comfortable, and in that there is this automatic tendency to question, if you are even aware enough, to question what you are doing wrong,
mm-hmm.
or what you aren't doing.
Yes.
And may not be the situation at all. And likely it isn't. That it is that peace that you are following your desire and you are moving, even if you don't recognize it, even if you don't see it. The reason you don't see it is because you are focused on what you don't like.
Right. And would, looking back at that past example again, so would the time involved be a reflection of my energy at the time?
Yes.
In other words, that could have been
but
a
what
lot quicker
is,
and easier.
What is the most important point in that is that you can look at what you have done pastly and situations and movements, and you can apply that knowledge now to being directing your attention differently and to be expressing a very different perception about the good and the bad experiences.
Mm-hmm.
That even when you don't like an experience, such as your situation with your bike.
Uh-huh.
And injuring yourself. Now, that is an experience that it is likely that most individuals would not necessarily express that as a good experience. You would automatically express it as a bad experience. But in that, you can alter your perception to the point in which you might not look at it as being a good experience, but you also don't necessarily see it as a bad experience either. Uncomfortable, yes. Perhaps inconveniencing, yes. But that you can also look at the experience from a different angle and incorporate a different perception that this had some purpose. You might not know what it is initially, and it may incorporate some time before you do know what it is, but eventually you will put those pieces together and you will know what that was about or how that fit into your direction, how it allowed you to accomplish something,
right?
And that at the time you objectively didn't know any other manner to do it.
And I can apply that to a lot of things if we're talking about this awareness and paying attention, is that a lot of the experiences over the last couple of years have enabled me and motivated me to move further in that direction.
Yes.
Which is what I want.
Precisely. Precisely.
Okay. So how is my perception towards money now?
What I would say to you is that it is considerably different than it was 1 year prior.
Okay, yeah.
Considerably different. I would say that your, let us say, relationship to money at this point has relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Significantly, and that in many time frameworks and situations, it isn't the first thought or direction of motivation that you move in. It has become somewhat secondary.
Less important.
I would be tremendously acknowledging of you in that. That is challenging because everything in your world presently to this point still moves in a direction of encouraging and influencing you to place money in that primary position. And for money to be your main motivation for most directions you move in.
Right. Okay, good. I'll continue to make it less important.
And the more you do that, the more likely you are to be generating more of it. It actually moves in the reverse direction of what most individuals think. The less you concentrate on it, the more you create it.
Right. So wanted to dig into a comment of yours, and this was made to someone else, but you've probably said the same thing to me, which was that everything you do follows your desires, including what you don't like, including what is uncomfortable. And I think we've just addressed what that means. Is that correct, or is there more to it?
I would express that as I said to you, this is a very difficult idea and concept for most individuals to understand and to accept, that it is not about what you think. Thinking doesn't create your reality. And you make associations with all of your experiences, and as I have expressed many times, an association is an evaluation of the experience with the attachment of good or bad. This experience is good, this experience is bad. In that, you make these associations with experiences, and they are based in that good and bad, and therefore you automatically think that anything that is bad isn't following your desire. But that is so very incorrect, because your desire and your energy don't reason comfortable or uncomfortable, good or bad. The objective is to accomplish. How to accomplish is secondary or much less important. That is not the primary objective. The primary objective is to accomplish. How it is done is almost irrelevant when you aren't self-aware. Which is the motivation to become more self-aware, because you don't like uncomfortable experiences. Want to be intentional, and the reason you want to be intentional is because you want to move in directions that are comfortable and that are easy. Which the easy part is somewhat of an oxymoron, if you will, because it's very easy for you to create what you don't want or to create uncomfortable situations. You don't have to think about it. It doesn't require any more effort. You do it automatically by not paying attention.
Mm-hmm. And how does that differ? If it does, if I think about desires, I think of things that necessarily don't change a lot, usually, day by day. But then I can also think of moment-by-moment wants that kind of guide my attention.
Yes. And they are different.
Okay.
Desire is... in one capacity, more general, the bigger picture. Wants can be included in desire, but you can also express wants that aren't in conjunction with your desire.
Right.
For desire is more about you. You, your well-being, your freedom, your comfort, and what is the most beneficial for you in every direction. Your wants are not always, but in many capacities, based in what you think you don't have.
And is it a lack of trust?
Not entirely, not entirely. For, as I expressed, for the most part, wants are expressed in what you think you don't have. Now, the more self-aware you become, your wants change and are not always based in what you think you don't have. They may be acknowledging what you do have, but that you want more of.
Okay.
Therefore, the want piece changes and is generally more in alignment with your desires the more self-aware you become. Generally, the less self-aware you are, the more your wants are based in outside acquisition. What you don't have and what you think you want.
And you can notice that and say, well, I'm expressing that want based on acquisition, and that I now know that that is not necessarily helpful, and so I'm going to stop doing that.
Yes, or you could notice that the want is not necessarily based in an acquisition, but is based in an expansion of what you already have. such as you may want a new car. You already have a car,
mm-hmm.
but you may want...
Why is that different, though, than a want from acquisition?
Because the more self-aware you are,
mm-hmm.
your motivation changes. You may want a new car when you are less self-aware because you perceive what it, the object of what you want is something you don't have. You aren't acknowledging that you do have a car. What your perception is that this is an object you don't have and you want to acquire it. And there are reasons for that. It is not simply that you want this new car. You want this new car as some type of outward reflection of yourself.
And is the more expanded want the want of an experience?
An experience, or that it is more effective, or it is more efficient, or it is more in keeping with your energy, or it is more of a benefit to you. And the benefit to you may be that it, in very simple terms, makes you happy. But that is a benefit, that every time you step into that vehicle, you feel happy.
Yes, I can understand that.
And you appreciate it, which is different from the vehicle that you already have, which you may appreciate, but it may not suit you any longer, and you may have outgrown it. And in that, you are attracted to a new car and a specific new car because it benefits you in some capacity. That moves with your want and your desire in harmony. But as I expressed, it doesn't mean that the more aware you are, the more self-aware you are, that you never want anything anymore.
Right. It's
definitely not
subtle, but it's important, it seems like, certainly.
The motivation is different. It changes. Your
right.
perception changes and your motivation changes. You don't want for the sake of acquisition in relation to how other people perceive you or what it
yes.
outwardly about you. You want in relation to your desire, which is based in what is your greatest benefit in every capacity.
And so the first type of want, like, you know, there's a lot of teachers out there, including Lester, that would talk about wants being expressions of lack. And that would be referring to the first type of want, right?
Yes. Yes. And I would agree with that.
And that's the nuance there.
Yes. But that doesn't mean that all wants are based in lack.
Right. Right. Okay. digging more into this puzzle that I so love. You were talking to someone else recently, and you talked about you think you are limited because of two factors, constructs and separation. And I assume that those are general comments, not specific to that individual.
Both. They are general, but they were also specific to that individual. Because some individuals are less limited in relation to that, and that those factors play less of an influence.
And can it be one or the other? Someone could be more limited by separation and
yes.
more limited by constructs?
Yes, definitely.
That's very interesting. And so I guess what am I more limited by?
I would say separation. And the reason that I would say that is because you are very intentionally paying more and more and more attention to constructs. And therefore, you are evaluating them more and more, and in doing so, you are allowing yourself to be less limited by them. By even recognizing them and understanding them, knowing that in some situations, you may be generating the very same choices, but with different motivation, as you and I discussed in relation to hiding in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
You may choose the identical same action, but your motivation may be very different because you are aware of the constructs. Therefore, I would say to you that because you are becoming more aware and are paying attention to constructs, they are less affecting or limiting to you than the separation factor. Now, the separation factor remains a considerably significant factor with most individuals, and that is because you exist in a reality in which separation is a tremendous element. The fact that you occupy separate individual bodies is an enormous piece. And in that, it is not a question of eliminating separation.
No.
It is a matter of doing the same action that you are doing with constructs. Being aware, recognizing them, and then you can choose when you apply it and when you don't. Rather than automatically being influenced.
Now, separation and non-separation, those are simply perceptions, right?
Yes. But ultimately, I would say yes. But I would also acknowledge that separation is a significant part of physical reality, and definitely a significant part of your physical reality. And therefore, yes, ultimately it is a matter of perception, and therefore, the more self-aware you are, the more you recognize that piece of perception. But that is not to be confused with illusion. The separation that you express in your physical reality is very real.
Okay, but when I think about separation from my perspective, I can notice how I generate that. And so I think of the non-separation as me not doing that.
I'm understanding, yes, and I would agree. I would agree. But it permeates every aspect of your reality, every
right.
single aspect of your reality. Even in relation to yourself individually, if you were to remove everything else in your reality, every other physical manifestation except yourself, and you were standing in a void, and you were one physical body in a void, and there was nothing around you, even in that, you generate separation. You separate your thoughts from your feelings. You separate your feelings from neutrality. You separate functions of your body. You separate even within yourself. Therefore, this is an enormous subject.
So it's not just, I could think of it as the perception I'm creating this moment, but it is interrelated with my relationship with everything else.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
And my perception of everything else.
Yes. Your perception itself is, in a manner of speaking, constructed in separation and singularity.
And move towards reducing the limitation of separation. My current understanding would be to notice when I am applying a limit because of the way I think about the world or about the way that reality functions, where I don't, the move towards less separation would be dropping that limit and just letting it flow.
What does that mean to you? What does that limit?
Okay, I can give an easy example. Like, for example, like we were talking about buying a car, and you can say you want that car, and I can say, well, you know, that car requires, there's only a few cars being made nowadays, and they require a lot of money, and so that's me right then in that moment creating separation.
Yes.
In my own agitation.
Yes.
And I could say, well, you know, whatever I've learned about the world, you know, it may or may not be true, and if again, bringing it back to yourself, if I keep the focus on myself and my energy, you know, anything is possible.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Any other comments on that, or?
What I would say to you in that is Very similar, as I expressed previously, very similar to constructs, not to move yourself in a direction of black and white or the idea of eliminating separation, but to be aware of what the influence is.
Okay.
That, yes, everything includes an aspect of separation within your reality. But what is the influence of that separation? Because you have choices in relation to that.
Right, right. Because from a completely different perspective, I am the situation I am in.
Yes, yes.
And in which case, it doesn't really, there is no outside world.
Correct.
So, why even put limitations where there are none?
Congratulations.
Thank you. This is a lot of fun.
Precisely. Now it is a matter of the application of that. Continuously.
Yes. Question on the noticing of constructs. What is the clue? What is the signal that I'm moving into a construct?
I would express that it would be more accurate to express in the direction of not whether you are moving into a construct, but to recognize that everything you do already is a construct, and what are you doing with it?
Everything I already do is a construct, because there's a reason for or why
I'm
doing whatever I'm doing, and is it a construct that I really won't agree with or not?
Precisely. What are you doing with it? Do you agree with it? Are you allowing this to influence you without being aware of it? Do you not agree with it? Do you want to move in that direction? Or are you merely moving in that direction because it is automatic? What are you doing with that construct? And do you even want to be doing anything with that construct? I would express that, yes, everything you do involves a construct. Because everything you do, there is a reason for, or a reason why.
Okay, I think I understand I could phrase my question better, because constructs are the motivation.
Yeah.
And so we had spoken in the past briefly about motivations that are limiting.
Or motivation that isn't influenced by the construct. Remember what we were expressing in relation to desire versus want. And that wants can be in harmony with desire, but they aren't automatically in harmony with desire. And the less aware you are, the less likely that they are in harmony with your desire. Now, in that, the only reason for when you are more aware is for your greater benefit. your greater benefit is not a construct. That is natural movement of consciousness. Therefore, in those examples that you are wanting that new car,
mm-hmm.
and the only reason that you want that new car is for your greater benefit, which, as I expressed, might be that it merely makes you happy.
And not motivations for not for your greater benefit would be, like, because I'm going to get approval from other people.
Correct. Or it is status. Or it is... a reflection of what you have and what you present or how you present yourself, therefore a part of your persona. Or you might want that new car because it is more efficient than your present car.
You know, you just use the term persona.
Yes.
That seems very similar to what distinction is commonly made between ego-based and non-ego-based.
I am understanding.
But obviously, there's a reason people make that distinction.
I would express that to degrees. I agree with some of those philosophies in relation to ego versus non-ego. But I would also express that there is much of that that is somewhat convoluted. And discounts or devalues natural expressions of the individual.
Right, because you could easily lump those into ego-based as well.
Yes. It, in many different directions and degrees, incorporates a tendency to devalue and discount your physical expressions and or physical almost requirements.
Okay, so if we think about common motivations that are not for your greater benefit. Wanting to change another individual, right? I'm thinking of a list here.
Most definitely.
Wanting to be right.
Definitely.
We already mentioned status.
Definitely.
Wanting. I know control is, but it's almost like that gets involved with everything. like you can say anything. It's like even you know, wanting to be right is wanting control. Wanting status is wanting control.
Yes. Control is a very strong subject, which permeates in every direction.
So what other are some common motivations that are not for your greater benefit?
Wanting to please.
Mm-hmm.
I would express being concerned.
Ah.
Wanting to instruct. Ownership. Possession.
What was that last one?
Possession.
Possession.
Inflexibility. The want or the perceived need to be better than.
That's a strong one.
And conversely, the want or the need to be less than with the idea that it is being humble.
What about wanting to avoid?
Definitely.
Wanting to fix?
Definitely.
Okay. This stuff is gold. It really is, because
I would express that you are acquiring a larger and larger treasure chest of it. And the wondrous, magical part of this gold is that it isn't heavy. And you carry it everywhere.
You know, as I go through this process or development or whatever with you, I sometimes think about how I would best describe it to someone else that would be interested in moving in that direction. And so, like, I think this type of information would be very helpful.
I agree, but I would express that the most effective and efficient manner of sharing it is being the example of it.
Now, a question about that, just really quick, just since the timer went off, is if I think about, and I guess he was maybe a little impatient about it, but if I think about like Lester Levinson, and he was certainly an example for a lot of people, but he reflected that people focus too much on him and not enough on themselves. But maybe that was just the time frame.
I would express that likely many, if not most, individuals in a position of knowing they are an example would express that, because you begin to notice what other individuals are paying attention to, and what they are paying attention to is the example, but they also purebred a tendency to elevate the vehicle of the example.
Like we do with you.
Yes. I would express, look at historical figures within your world and how you perceive them, that they are expressing an example, and most individuals appreciate their example, but they focus very much on that individual because, once again, separation.
Mm.
They separate and they distinguish that individual as different from themselves, regardless that they may be inspired and they want to emulate that. They view that individual separately and different from themselves, and they elevate that individual. This is an automatic action that people do. It is not necessarily bad, although it may not necessarily be entirely comfortable for the individual that is being the example.
Right.
But it is not actually necessarily bad that people do that because it gives them something to aspire to.
Right, and it can be a matter of time frame.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, Elias, thank you again. Another terrific session. Appreciate
you are
it.
Very welcome. And I am tremendously congratulating you in all that you are accomplishing once again.
Thank you.
And expressing tremendous appreciation for yet another stimulating conversation. In tremendous lovingness and appreciation to you, my dear friend. Au revoir.
Goodbye, Elias.